This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Top beer. Top beer. Top beer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic episode of Top Beer. With me, as always, is my co-host, Timothy Robert Buckner. Timothy, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Doing good, doing good. This week, Tim, we're doing craft lagers. Now, you may be asking yourself at home, what is a craft lager? Is there a difference between a lager and a pilsner? And here's the answer. There is a difference. Short answer, there is a difference. Now, what is that difference? Well, what's the difference between a crocodile and an alligator, right? It's the same kind of difference that there would be between something like a craft lager and a pilsner and a Kolsch and something along those lines, right? So, Wikipedia describes a lager. Are you still with me, Tim? I hope you're still with me here. Wikipedia describes a lager as a German for storeroom or warehouse, is a type of beer that is conditioned at low temperatures, normally at the brewery. It may be pale, golden, amber, or dark. Although one of the most defining features of a lager is its maturation and cold storage. It is also distinguished by its use of a specific yeast. While it is possible to use lager yeast in a warm fermentation process such as the American steam beer, I've never heard of a steam beer, the lack of a cold storage maturation process, I can't say that word, maturation process, precludes such beer from being classified as a lager. On the other hand, German Altbier and Kolsch, brewed with a top fermenting yeast at a warm temperature, but with cold storage finishing stage, are classified as Obergariges, lager beer, some kind of weird German word I can't say, or top fermented lager beer for us English speaking folks. Until the 19th century, the German word lager beer referred to all types of bottom fermented, cool conditioned beer in a normal strength. In Germany today, however, the term is mainly reserved for the prevalent lager beer styles of southern Germany. Hell's pales, or Dunkel, dark, Pilsner, a more heavily hopped pale lager, there's your difference, is often most often known as a Pilsner, or Pils. Other lagers are Bock, Marzen, and Schwarzbier. I'll be back. Sorry. In the United Kingdom, the term lager commonly refers specifically to pale lagers, many of which are derived from the Pilsner style. Worldwide, pale lager is the most widely consumed and commercially available style of beer. It is often primarily known by its brand name and labeled simply as beer. Well-known brands include Miller, Stella Artois, Beck's, Brahma, Budweiser, Corona, Snow, Singtau, that's probably a German company, Kirin Company, Heineken, Carling, Fosters, and Carlsberg. So there's your definition of a lager. So that's the overall umbrella term for what a lager is. Because if you go down to the variations in this Wikipedia page, under styles, there's pale lager. Then under that, there's Hell's, Pilsner, Marzen, Bock, and then dark lager, Dunkel, Double Bock, and Schwarzbier. Which I think we've obviously done Pilsner on the show. We've never done Bock's or Hell's though. I've never even heard of Hell's, Tim. Have you heard of Hell's?
I have heard of Hell's. Hell's Bells.
Gotcha.
There is a beer that's called that, obviously. There always is.
Right.
You have to have every pun name. But
right.
Yeah, I'm not. The reason why we probably haven't done it is because I'm not a big German beer fan.
You're not.
We've kind of talked about that.
We have.
not that I hate it. I'm just not into it as much anymore.
But this should be an interesting episode because we decided to do, I specifically said craft lager. So not. We're not doing Budweiser. We're not doing Stella. We're not doing, you know what I mean? Because we sort of made the mistake of doing a mainstream Mexican beers the other day. And I think we've learned from that mistake. So that's why I specifically said craft lager. So having said that, Tim, my first beer is Joe's Pils by Avery Brewing Company. No. My first beer tonight, Tim, if you don't mind me getting into it. This is Upslope Brewing Company, based out of beautiful Boulder, Colorado. This is their craft lager. Bright, fresh, and easy. That's how I like my women, Tim, by the way. Bright, fresh, and easy. 12 fluid ounces, 4.8% ABV on this bad boy. Upslope has a very minimal can design. It's just their logo with a silhouette of a mountaintop. And they have different color schemes. So their craft lager can is an orange and white can. And ingredients they have on here: snowmelt, malt, Czech saaz hops, and lager yeast. Specs: handcrafted, aluminum can, portable, recyclable, good. So there you go, Tim. So that's the can. Let's go ahead and open her up. Now, Tim, I have to be honest here. I've been drinking this pretty much since I got it all week. And I was actually already drinking some tonight. And I wanted it to be my first beer because I want to tell you, before I even take my first sip of this beer, Tim, I want to tell you that I like this beer. Now, do you remember, Tim, when I told you a while back, a coworker of mine was like, well, I only drink Bud Light and Coors and this and that. And I was like, what would be a good beer to introduce him into the craft beers, right? The realm of craft beer. So I will declare right now, Tim, that this would be the perfect beer to start him off into the world of craft beer, because unlike your Bud Light, unlike your Miller, Coors, all that stuff, this actually tastes good. This actually tastes good, and it's good. It's quote unquote sessionable, right? It's, you know, it looks just like what you'd expect. It's got that super clear golden color, light golden color, a little bit of a foamy head there. And what I like about it, Tim, is that it's not super malty. It's very smooth when it goes down. When you drink a Bud Light, when you drink a Coors or whatever, you know, I don't know what it is, but those don't go down as smooth, right? When you drink this bad boy, which I'm going to do right now, that goes down really smooth. And if you're like, if you're hanging out at a barbecue, you know, maybe eating some chips or chips and salsa, whatever, this pairs well with anything salty. You know what I mean? You could be eating almost anything that's super savory and salty, and this would be a beer that would not offend your taste buds, Tim. So are you ready for the rate beer score?
I am.
Here we go. Abysmal 31 over 71.
That is not great, buddy.
31 for the overall, 71 for the style. But you know, to be fair, it has a decent style rating, I would say. No? I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's not terrible.
It's not terrible. You know what's interesting? On the commercial description that Rate Beer has, it says, and maybe you can decipher this for me, FKA Top Rope Mexican Style Craft Lager. I don't see that anywhere on the can, so I don't know what they mean by that. Can you?
FKA is formerly known as. So there was a time when that beer was marketed or called that other name. That's what that means.
Interesting. Yeah. Some of the top comments, which I agree with, overall good lager, smooth, good malt flavor, not overly hoppy, would recommend. Classic pour of a crystal clear pale yellow with a medium sudsy white head and aroma of yeasty wheat, mineral water, and mild hops. Tastes like a really well-made Coors. So that's part of the reason why I was saying this would be the perfect beer to acclimate someone to the craft beer world. What do you think so far, Tim? Do you agree?
I think that you might be right there. I think you might be
onto something, right? I'm onto something.
Have them dead to rights on that one.
Yeah, I'm gonna. Maybe I'll even bring. I have a couple cans of this left. Maybe I'll even bring a can to my coworker and say, "Look, take this home, put it in your fridge tonight, and then tomorrow night when you get home after a long stressful day of work, which you have every day, pretty much, just crack open this bad boy and give it a whirl." Tim, what do you have for us tonight?
My first beer is from Great Divide in your neck of the woods, Denver, Colorado, and it is the Haas, and it says on the rate beer, it's referred to as a rye lager, but it doesn't have that marked anywhere on the can. I do see it here on the bottle. You can see it, but on here, it says Oktoberfest lager, so I don't know if there's a mix-up and a difference, but I think it's the same beer because it also has style as Oktoberfest Marzen. So it is a rye lager, it's an Oktoberfest style
That's
lager.
By Great Divide?
Yeah, it's by Great Divide.
That's funny. I didn't see. I was actually. I saw their beers at the store I went to today, and I did not see any lagers from them. So that's interesting that you have one from them.
I've got one of the best ones from them.
What's it called again? Sorry.
Haas.
Haas.
H-S. It's green patchwork kind of design on it that's reminiscent of a. Or not green, red patchwork design that's reminiscent of a.
A guy working.
There's a guy with an axe.
An axe and a pipe, right?
What's the thing that lumberjacks wear? The pattern.
Plaid. Or no.
Yeah, it's like a red on red
flannel. Flannel is what they wear.
Flannel. No, plaid is the design. Flannel is the material, I think.
Oh, okay. That's so weird that you got one from. I did not see that at all at the store. And they had a bunch of beers from almost every brewing company, and I didn't. I saw Great Divide, did not see that one. Interesting.
Well, you should have looked harder.
I should have looked harder.
It's an ambery. It's a little bit darker ambery color for a lager, not what you'd expect in that regard. A little bit darker. Probably because it's got the rye, the Marsan style. Let's see how it smells. It really smells like a lager. I don't know how to explain it exactly, but. You know that smell when you smell lager.
It's that sort of yeasty malty. Maybe that's not even the right way to put it, but it has that sort of yeasty malty, you know, smell to it that you would expect. But honestly, I feel like it's a bit more muted than when you would drink from a Bud Light or a Coors. Honestly, I think those have stronger smells in that.
Yeah, so there's a slight bit of like a floral. Scent to it that you don't get on the Budweiser and stuff, but it just, I hate to say it, but it's got that scent that turns me off, because when you smell it old and dried up and like old cans that were left out from a party the night before from people just crushing Bud Lights, that smell always kind of really is just bad to me.
Oh yeah.
And so even though this is fresh and fine, it does have that.
That almost any beer, if you smell the glass that had beer in it the day after, or even a can or bottle, they're all going to have that similar smell. I mean, I've noticed that myself. Have you not noticed that with any beer you've ever had?
No, I mean, I get you. Yeah, you're going to get that stale, nasty smell. But the thing about, I guess, my problem with lagers is that they're not, they just are what they are. And I kind of, okay, so like I said, fresh right now, and it's not. Really, like, if you think about it, I mean, you know, IPAs are drink fresh because, you know, they lose stuff, blah, blah, blah. Then there's bottle conditioned ales, stouts, stuff like that, where there's something to it. And for me, it feels like lager is just, it just is what it is. And I don't necessarily know.
It's not trying to be something that it's not. It's just, look, here's a crisp, easy drinking beer that you can drink year round, basically. And if you drink a craft version of any lager, it's just gonna taste better. I mean, admittedly, this tastes better than, you know, those Mexican beers that we had on the show that I had anyway. But that's just, I don't know. That's just me. I don't know about you, Tim. I mean, your beer. You tell me what you think so far.
Well, I think I should probably taste this one, huh?
All right, let's do it. But by the way, while you're doing that, I'm looking at their website for the beer you have, Rate Beer 97. It tells you the score right there. Which I hope I didn't give it away too soon. 2009 Great American Beer Festival Bronze Medal Rye Beer. 2010 World Beer Cup Bronze Medal Rye. 2010 Australian International Beer Awards Gold Medal and Overall Champion Lager. There you go, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Food pairings: veal bratwurst, barbecue chicken, carnitas, pork tacos. What is this? Camembert cheese and German chocolate cake. Camembert. Oh, there you go.
Camembert.
There you go, Tim. Tim always has a good accent when it comes to pronouncing foreign words. So, but what do you think? Straight from the horse's mouth, what do we think?
I like it. I think the rye does give it a crisp spiciness. It's nice. It's got a little, as I said, it's a little floral for a lager, which is nice. The malts are not too heavy-handed. There's a little bit of, I don't know, darker fruits, maybe cherry and notes of that regard, maybe plum, stuff like that. Toasty. I mean, this is a good warmer weather, but not necessarily summer. Let's say, I don't know,
springtime,
late spring, early fall beer, kind of
springtime for Hitler. That's what it would be.
Springtime for Hitler.
You have a ABV is a 6.2. That's not a snoozer, Tim. That's a relatively strong beer for a lot, because lagers don't tend to be that strong, really.
Packs a little bit of a punch. Yeah. 74 overall, 97 for the style. Can definitely see that. You know, this is a drinker for me. This is a definite, I could drink this beer. So.
You could drink it, right. I mean, if you showed up at someone's cookout, barbecue, whatever, and they had those in the fridge next to Bud Light or Coors, I mean, honestly, which would you go for?
I mean, I'm drinking this.
Perfect. All right, Tim. What else can you tell us about that beer? Anything else, sir?
Nothing. I like it. It doesn't linger. It stays on your tongue only slightly. It doesn't bother me. It's a decent beer. I actually am into drinking this beer. Yeah. It's like I said, a little fruity, a little zesty, a little spicy. It's not, yeah, it's not just like a boring lager like you might expect.
Right. That's what, and you know, I picked up a six pack of this this Upslope beer, and I was thinking, I'm sort of taking a risk, right? Because what if this is just like a crappy lager and I don't like it, and I just have a whole six pack of this? I'm still gonna finish the six pack. Don't get me wrong, no matter what it tastes like, but I was worried. I was like, oh well, you know, I might be hosing myself a little bit here, right? But no, I'm actually pretty glad that I got to try this because I think it's pretty good. And I would definitely drink this over the summer, over the warmer seasons. You know what I mean? Because this just kind of seems like that kind of beer to have when it's a little bit warmer outside, and you want some cool and refreshing when you come into the cold AC wherever you are, whether it's at home or at work. Although you probably shouldn't be drinking at work, but you know. Who am I to say?
Unless your job is to drink beer. Unless you're a professional beer drinker.
So, there you go, Tim. All right. Well, that sounds great. I think with that, we'll head into our first break, and then when we come back, we'll do our second beer. What do you think?
Sounds good to me.
Right. Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Voice of Ring of Honor's Kevin Kelly here. I just want to make sure you're all subscribed to all of our great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. Now, it's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search for and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation Wrestling Feed, Place to Be Nation Pop Feed, Pro Wrestling Only Feed, and of course, the Kevin Kelly Show Feed, which includes the full archives of my podcast. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And of course, as always, enjoy all the great action of Ring of Honor Wrestling and everything presented to you on placetobenation.com.
We're back, Tim. Hey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good.
Fantastic. Okay, so diving right into it, Tim. My second beer for tonight, this is from the Grist Brewing Company. What's that?
What is it called?
This is from the Grist Brewing Company. Have you heard of Grist Brewing? I've never heard of them.
I've never heard of Grist Brewing.
Constructed in Highlands Ranch, Colorado, using the highest quality water, malt, hops, and yeast. This is their Skeen and Jeans limited edition box style lager, Tim. Ooh. A box style lager brewed with Colorado wildflower honey and Texas pecans, yielding a malty, nutty beer. Pairs well with a barbecue brisket. There's that barbecue again. Or a hot bowl of chili. IBU 23, SRM 19, science balanced with creativity. And yeah, it's got a pretty cool little design of a dude in the cowboy hat skiing. And, you know, a lot of colors, a lot of black, blue, green, yellow, orange. Very colorful can. That's why it stood out to me when I saw it at the store. So I went ahead and picked it up. For a second time, I thought it was a rock style beer. Then I looked at it closer. Oh, Bach style beer. I was like, "What's a rock style beer? I want to drink that." You know. this is a ABV of 7.0. That's pretty strong for a
7.0.
Yeah, you don't normally see that with lagers. They're normally, you know, not as strong. But here we go. Ooh. That's an interesting smell, a very, very floral smell. Let's go ahead and pour that bad boy. So this is a lot darker than my last beer. This is has a sort of a dark reddish brown color. A nice, very nice head actually on this. But yeah, this is like a super, this could almost pass for like a like a black style lager, like a stout even. It's kind of dark. Not that dark. It's not as dark as a stout, but really nice color. Ooh, and I got beer on my laptop. Should not have done that. Should not have done that at all. Hold on.
No.
This is a couple of drops, so no big deal.
We're fucked, guys. We're all fucked, everyone.
The show is dead. Guys. It's done. Let's go home.
Over. Everyone go home.
Let's go ahead and smell that. Oh, the head on this does not last, by the way. It dissipates really quick.
Oh.
Yeah, that has a little bit of a fruity smell to it, Tim. Let's go ahead and taste it.
Let's do it. Let's see.
Oh, wow. I wouldn't know that was a lager if you didn't tell me it was a lager. That's got that almost reminds me of like a it's the Odell's Red Runoff IPA or Odell's Red Runoff IPA or Red Runoff Pale Ale or something like that. It's sweet. It's a lot sweeter than what I was expecting. Not in a bad way. Let's see. Yeah, I can definitely taste the the honey. That's what it is. It's that sort of honey smell. That sort of honey nutty smell. This is really different from what I was expecting, and in a good way. This actually is pretty good. Let me look this up. Let me look up the rate beer on this bad boy. Who did I say was Grist Brewing? You've never heard of it? I never heard of Grist Brewing either. That's funny that they're...
Yeah, no, I've never heard of them.
Bock style lager. Let's go ahead and see what the rate beer is on this. Or Beer Advocate, maybe. Or Untapped. There's no rate beer. So this... Oh, there it is. Oh, no. This is just the brewery's page.
They've got their own website?
No. Well, rate beer has a... On rate beer, you can find a list of the beers that a brewery has. Craft Apple Light Lager. They have a Craft Apple Light Lager. Where's the... What I'm looking for, though.
I don't know what you're looking for.
Let's see. Skiing and... let me just type in skiing and jeans. Oh, I found it. Okay. No score. Okay. No score whatsoever. Interesting. Let's see if Untappd has a score. I don't know how the scores work on Untappd, but I'll tell you what it is. Total 393, unique 334. What does that do for you? Because that does nothing for me.
How's that grab you? No, it does nothing for me.
Okay. Well, that's the score. I don't know. Well, let's see here. It's out of 5 bottle caps, this has almost 4 whole bottle caps out of 5. So how about that?
Okay.
Let's catch those outside. How about that, Tim?
I like that idea. what's the name of the beer?
It's Skiing and Jeans.
What's that first word you're saying?
Skiing, like you go skiing on the mountain.
Okay, you pronounce that in a way that's hard to understand what word it is.
How would you say
skiing?
Skiing.
Skiing.
Do you have a hard G sound at the end or a soft G sound at the end?
Skiing. Skiing. I mean, it's hard-ish. Mm. I think... Okay. Gotcha.
Do you... Okay, now, a little bit off topic here. Do you pronounce the G sound of any word that ends with ing? Or is it just a soft G that you're not really supposed to pronounce? Because a reporter I work with in Utah would always do a hard G at the end of any word that had ing. Was that just because she had a Utah accent? Or
I think you're supposed to. I mean,
well, we're from California.
Like dropping the G?
That's what I'm saying. Like being from California, specifically Southern California, I feel like we have a certain way of saying certain words. And I feel like the G is always going to be silent whenever we say an ing.
I don't do that. I say the G.
You say the G. Okay. Yeah. I'm just now learning this.
Shopping.
Shocking, yeah.
Shopping.
Believing. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Seeing.
Drinking.
That's what I'm going to do.
Drink some beers.
So what do you think about that beer?
This is good. Honestly, is it sessionable like the other beer I had, the Biopslip? No. But it's good. This is a beer I could drink, when I just want a delicious tasting lager that it's not too strong, that's not too hoppy, because it's not hoppy. Honestly, it's that sort of sweet caramelly nutty taste is very prevalent in this beer. And it's good. It's good. Honestly, I like it. I don't know about the damn score. I don't know what I would give it, but, do you remember when I had the Baba Black Lager and I drank it later on and I liked it and I was like, oh shit, this does taste like a lager, but obviously, you know, darker style, of a lager. This would fall into that sort of same category where it's like, this tastes like a lager, but a lager with more flavor in it, more robust flavor in it, if that makes sense. So,
yeah, no, that does make sense.
Yeah, this is good beer. This is a really good beer. I'm glad I got to try it. I almost wished it was a rock style lager, like, you know, like a rock star would fucking. This is what a rock star would drink. You know what I'm saying? Someone like Nickelback. Nickelback is still a rock star, isn't he? I haven't.
Nickelback is not a person, but yes.
How are the Nickelback guys doing? I feel like I haven't heard from them in a while.
The Nickelbacksmen?
The Nickelback.
They're doing pretty good.
They're still making music? I don't know if they are.
Yeah, they're rocking out, brother.
They would enjoy this. If they like,
they'd love it.
If they like beer, they would enjoy this, I think.
They're Canadian. Keep that in mind.
And there's a lot of snow in Canada. They have mountains in Canada. If they go skiing, this is the perfect beer to take with you. If that's you true. Decide to go carve the slopes, right? Is that the right phrase? Carving the slopes, right?
Carving those slopes.
Carving the slopes.
Especially Canadians refuse to ski in anything but jeans.
Exactly.
Oh, so, because they're rock stars.
I was reading a thread the other day. Someone was talking shit because there was like a picture of a guy skiing, but he was wearing jeans. And someone was like, who the fuck goes skiing in jeans? And people were all in the, you know how it is on Reddit. On the comments, like, it's not that bad if it's not snowing and if it's a dry, powdery snow, like, you're not going to really get much. You're not going to get your jeans that wet. It's fine, blah, 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 this and that. I've never been skiing. I don't fucking know. I don't think I could go skiing in jeans, but if that's the type of person that you are, after you're done carving up the mountainside and you head back home, you want to come home to a beer like this, right? This is perfect for the winter because it's a little bit darker. This isn't a summery beer, Tim. This isn't a beer you drink during the summer. This is a lager you enjoy when it's a little bit colder outside. And I like it. It's good. What do you have for us tonight, Tim? What's your second beer?
Well, my second beer is Charlie Wells Dry Hopped Lager.
Ooh, Wells Dry Hopped Lager.
It's coming from Bedford, England. The can's even marked. It's got since 1876. So this is a brewery that's been around the town.
Yeah, that brewery's seen something. That brewery's been through several wars and several presidents. You know what
I mean? It has. Cool can. It's yellow with this kind of, I guess you'd say, twee-ish drawing of a dude with a beard and maybe some kind of, I can't tell if he's supposed to be all tattooed. I think that's it. I think he's covered in tattoos.
I'm looking at a picture. For a second, I thought it was like a body armor of some kind, like
yeah,
medieval.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. But then I looked a little bit deeper, and it looks like it's tattoos. As I said, it's from England. It's 4.7% alcohol by volume.
Do you think the English are good at making beers, or do you think that America is getting better at it than they are?
Depends on the beer, but I think English beers have their own thing, and I think it's getting appreciated more and more for having their own style. But American beer, especially craft beer, has become kind of a juggernaut, so it's hard to say. Now, this has got that traditional color that you expect for a lager. Thin body, white head, bubbly, effervescent, really small kind of champagne bubbles. Really what you expect from a lager, I would say. They know what they're doing over there in England town.
Sounds like it.
Smells like a lager with a little bit more citrus. It says here it's a... They get a 2-week cold conditioning stage with Galaxy and Ella hops, which I think are both Australian hops, bring in depth of flavor for the dry hopping character. They use Citrian Golding and Noble hops as well for aroma. So this is supposed to be hopped up. Let's see what we got going on here. Huh. Nice balance of sweet and citrusy. Not really a lot of hop bitterness, more hop floral. I mean, that's kind of more what you get from dry hopping. You get less of that bitterness and more of the kind of the floral and the aromatic parts of it.
Yeah.
The initial taste is quite good. As I said, sweet, floral, citrus. And then it comes back, the back with the malt that is a little bit more of that stereotypical lager taste. Not bad, but... I mean, it is what it is. It's that.
How sessionable would you say that beer is?
4.7% alcohol. Let me see. I mean, yeah, I could see drinking it. But I'm not. I'm not crazy for it. I could drink a couple of them, but I think this is a beer I'd get bored with pretty quickly. necessarily hate it.
Do you have the score for that bad boy?
Rate beer score here is 51 for overall style of 100. So,
wow.
As I said, definitely bang on with the lager, the dry hopping, all that. They definitely do a good job there. But it's just not a beer style I think anyone's too super excited for. I will say they did a good job with the dry hopping. I think that they balance that out well. The only problem is that with only a dry hop and not really doing a lot of the hopping in the initial mash, it really is, it's kind of not, let's say, more of a almost superficial kind of hopping. So the hop were done well, but there's the base beer is not necessarily something I'm super excited for.
Interesting. So the styles, because it has a pretty good style, it has a perfect style score, but the overall score, you're saying, would you say that that's accurate? Like a 51 is what it deserves, a 51?
Yeah, because it's just not a beer that I necessarily like that much.
Ah. Perfect. All right. Well, Tim, I think with that, we should head on to our second break. And when we come back, we'll do our third and final beer, and then we'll go from there. What do you think?
I think that sounds great as I finish my beer.
Okay.
Placement Nation's JT Rizzero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlacementNation.com, and we offer them to you across two great feeds. On the Placement Nation Wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast with our famous vintage wall pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with the smash hit Clotheslines and Headlines, our steady veteran main event, and the beloved monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on all pro wrestling super shows. Relive wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the always contentious Dangerous Alliance podcast, and Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. On our very popular Placement Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, NBA Team, Lucha Undead, Geek and Sassy, and a veritable podcast heaven for comic fans with Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both of those feeds on iTunes and rate and leave feedback for us as well. All of these shows plus others available at PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlayStation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on the right-hand side of our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keats' Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All right, we're back for our third and final segment. Tim, how are you feeling tonight, by the way? How you doing?
I'm feeling really good right now.
Yeah, Saturday night. Any plans for tonight? Are you doing anything special?
Mostly this.
Mostly this. That's awesome. That's what I'm mostly doing.
What about
too.
You? You got big plans?
Well, a friend of my girlfriend's is having a birthday thing tonight. We may or may not go. We may just go see a movie. You know, kind of okay. Low key. We may go pick up her phone that she lives at her friend's house.
That's probably a good idea.
Because she tends to do that sometimes, leave her phone places where she shouldn't. So anyway, shit. Okay.
I'm making a lot of noise. Third beer tonight?
I do. So Tim, this is by Scott Brewing Company. Scott Brewing Company. Have you heard of Scott Brewing?
I have.
They're based out of Durango, Colorado? Yes, no, maybe so. It just says Durango. I think they want you to assume that if you're buying this beer, wherever you're buying it from, that the city that it's coming from is just in the state you're living in, unless I am mistaken.
I think it is Colorado.
Recycle Squawk, 1842 Granny Recycle Ribcage Squawk Pilsen Recycle. That's what it says on the top edge of the can. I don't know why those words are there. I think it's some kind of code. Some kind of a coded message. Handcrafted Durango, 5.4% ABV. This is their craft. Let's just call it their craft lager. It says something on the can like PLS World, I think is what it's trying to say on the can.
Okay.
It's got a crow on there. It's a yellow can. It's got a dude dancing with the chick in a checkered skirt. I don't know. But this stood out to me. I've heard of Ska Brewing, but I've never had any of their beers. So let's go ahead and give this bad boy
a taste,
shall we? If we can open it. Don't you hate when you cut your nails and you can't open a beer?
Yeah. It happens to me. That's a thing that's never happened to me.
It happens to me constantly when it comes to cans.
Stop cutting your nails.
Well, I don't want to have dirty long nails now, do I?
Yeah, so then clean them.
Yeah, but then who wants to have long nails, you know?
A lot of people. People who like to drink beer?
I don't believe, well, you know, that's why, you know, how some people have cocaine spoons. Mm. I'll have a beer spoon. That's what I should just do.
You should.
This is very, very clear and yellow. Just like, you know, very champagne bubbles, a nice white head to it. Ooh, that has a very floral smell to him. I like that. Let's go ahead and give it a sip, shall we?
Let's do it.
Oh, wow.
That tastes great.
Ooh, that is really good. Holy shit, dude. This is like a... This is like a... This is a, almost like a very light IPA.
Mm.
Honestly, this is like... this is very floral, like what you would get in the hoppiness of an IPA, but very okay. smooth and very... Oh, this is good. Let me keep drinking this. Hold on.
Okay, okay.
Mm. Wow. I almost don't believe that, that's a lager, unless my palate isn't as evolved as yours, Tim. That is a really good... I gotta look this up now. Ska Brewing. What was it? Their, what was it called? Fucking their craft lager. Simple enough. It's like a beer can that just has beer on it. That's what this would be. But no, this is more than that. This is what's their? Well, Google shows you the Untappd score right away. 3.7 out of 5, which to me sounds pretty fucking good. Let's see what it is on Rate Beer. Ready for this? Hold on. Hold on, Tim.
Okay, let's, right, do right.
Let's
do
let's,
it.
Let's, hold on. No score.
None.
No score.
Oh, come on.
No score whatsoever on there on Rate Beer. But a clear golden beauty with a thin head of tiny bubbles, a delicately crafted lager with light malt body and a clean citrus finish. That's what it is. It's the citrusy smell that I got out of it, Tim. Someone said, pours a thick, well-retained white head with a heavy lacing over a clear yellow body. Nose is light, grapefruit, lemon, soap, mild cereal with a slight cracker. That's offensive. Taste is mildly sweet with light floral tones and pear apple. Light base malts, grapefruit tones, finishing with a moderate but lingering bitterness. Mouthfeel. Light body, no alcohol, high carbonation. This is a more of a hoppy pale lager than a pilsner. The hops are wrong for the style. According to this person, of course.
Gotcha.
The can says craft lager. I consider it a craft lager because that's what it says. It doesn't taste like a craft lager, but it is delicious, Tim. Damn, I wish you could try this. This is really delicious, Tim. I like this. What else can we ascertain about this beer? Oh, Ska Brewing's official website has this as a Mexican lager, but as a L-O-G-G-E-R. Oh, wait, no, sorry. That's a different beer altogether. Never mind. Let's cut that out. But no, Tim, this is really good.
Edit point.
This tastes like a light IPA. That's what it tastes like. And I mean, they call it a lager, so I'm calling it a lager too. But this is really good. This is really good. Have you ever had a lager, Tim, where it tasted kind of hoppy-ish and floral?
Yeah,
and...
yeah. The one that I had just now was, I mean, it was dry hop, but it wasn't. It obviously wasn't as good as this one you're drinking now.
Oh yeah.
Is this okay? So this is the Ska Brewing. Is it Pils World or is it what's it
Pils
called?
Pils World. That's what it's trying to say on the can because it just says PLS. But I wasn't sure if it was PIS. Like it was trying to say like, hey,
the this... I is underneath the P.
Ah, son of a bitch! I didn't even see that. See, this is why graphic design. This, ladies and gentlemen, is why graphic design is important when it comes to labeling food and beverage products because. Otherwise, you will get confused like I did. Or maybe I'm just dumb. I don't know.
This is the case. So, that sounds really good.
It's really good.
It sounds like a good beer.
I'm almost surprised. I'm shocked that there's no Rate Beer score because I feel like the people who frequent wait Rate Beer and they have given it a score, why is there no score? You know what I mean? That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
So, anyway, there you go. There you go, Tim.
Sounds pretty good.
Sounds really good. What's your third and final beer, Tim?
My third and most final beer is a beer that is now kind of lonely, Adrian.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a Mexican-style lager, it says. Well, I guess yours wasn't, was it? That was a different one.
Yeah.
This is from Oscar Blues Brewing in wonderful Colorado.
Oscar Brews Brewing Company.
Yes. This is the Beerito.
Ah, yes.
And the reason why I say it's lonely, Adrian, is that you tried to tell me last week that we should both get the Beerito. And I listened to you, despite my better judgment, because I told you from the start that I liked it better when it happens naturally.
I know. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. I was looking for that fucking beer at the store I went to today. They did not have it. They had every other beer by Oscar Blues except that one. So
I don't believe you.
It's true. It's
not
true.
Even for a second. That's okay. You know what? It doesn't matter. We'll get through this. We will get through
this.
We'll
survive, Tim.
It's an amber lager from Vienna. It's a Vienna style, it says, even though it's supposed to be a Mexican lager, which is funny. It's super amber. It's the darkest one out of anything that I've had tonight. Same kind of champagne-y bubbles, though, and very white head. So it's got craft malts, crisp accent of noble hops, incredibly smooth with flavors of walnut, toasted bread, plum, honey, and cocoa. It says here 4% ABV. It seems like a decent beer. I've never had it before because I don't know. I would never go out of my way to drink something that markets itself as a Mexican style beer. I just wouldn't.
You know? It's funny because you said German, but it's supposed to be Mexican. I mean, you have to think about history, Tim. At some point, somebody in Germany was like, you know, we got to get the hell out of here because we're being persecuted for just following orders. So let's go ahead and move to Mexico. And let's go ahead and make some beers in Mexico, you know, from our homeland. And we'll just call them Mexican lagers, but they're really German lagers because we're Germans and we're from Germany. You know, that's the connection to.
And we're also war criminals.
War criminals or people who were just falling. Whatever you want, however you want to look at it. You know, the glass is either half empty or half full. That's where that has to come from, right? I mean, how else would you explain that, you know?
And then that slowly sneaks its way into America and starts stormfront.org.
You know the stormtroopers were was actually a word for soldiers in the German during World War II.
Yes.
It was funny. You know, I'm watching Star Wars. I'm like, oh, stormtroopers. That's a cool name. I wonder where that comes from. Fucking World War II Nazis and shit. I'm like, really, George Lucas? Like, are you blatantly trying to just say that the Empire's they're just basically just Nazis? Like, I mean, obviously that's the case, but it's like, damn, he could have been a bit more subtle with it, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I got you. But hey, he got his point across.
Yeah, his point across. What can you do? What were you saying about your
beer? This bad boy smells. Oh, it smells weird. It smells like soup, kind of.
What do you mean? It smells like soup. Is it savory? Is that what it is? Salty?
Yeah, it's got like a savory. I don't know, salty. I don't know if you ever like. Maybe like a lentil soup.
A little bit malty. I was gonna say that's probably the malts coming in hot. You know what I mean?
Coming in very hot.
What's the color
of
that?
This is unoffensive.
This is
good. It's caramely.
Yeah?
It's a little sweet. Hop, not crazy on the hops.
What's the color on that, by the way?
What? Really amber.
Very
like
amber.
Brownish, amber. It looks like maybe you took a Dr. Pepper and you mixed it with some water. Maybe the ice cubes melted in the bottom of a Dr. Pepper.
Ah, okay. I feel you. How does it taste? Do you like it? That's the important part.
It's sweet. It's definitely got... It grabs you a little bit with the mouthfeel, a little tannin. I could see the roasty, toasty little... Yeah, the honey. I don't really get the honey. The cocoa, not at all. The hops are there a little bit, but not much. Yeah, it's just... It's a nice kind of caramely, toasty... Quick, punchy, sweet flavor up front, and then there's not much more to it after that. It really dissipates quick, so this is definitely sessionable for sure. Overall rating 47, style rating of 92. I can see that.
That's not bad.
That's kind of not a great rating, but also, I mean, it's not a great beer, so I guess that makes sense. There's not much to it. So,
yeah. As
I said, sessionable. If you don't mind drinking plain, boring beer, then yeah, you could drink this one, no problem.
Would you say that's the beer that can be in a can that literally just says beer and be fine?
Yeah.
Okay. I can get down with that.
Generic. What is it? Drunkman's brand beer.
Uh huh.
That's what this is.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, Tim. I think that's good. Unless there's anything else you want to add.
No, not particularly.
Well, let's go ahead and go into our final break. And Tim, when we come back, we're going to announce our top beer. I hit the wrong switch. We'll be right back.
The PWO PTBN feed has changed its name, now known simply as Pro Wrestling Only, so it should be easier to find and indeed to say. All of your favorite shows are still here, including Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, This Week in Wrestling, and many, many more, including our full archives of tremendous content. So make sure you subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only feed today.
Tim, we're back. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. How are you?
I'm great. I found an article, Tim, specifically about lagers. So I was doing a little bit of research for this show. I don't do a lot of research, you know me, but I did a little bit of research for this show, you know, to find out what a lager is. The first thing that comes up, one of the first things that comes up, from beerandbrewing.com. Have you been on Beer and Brewing, Tim? I feel like that sounds like such a mainstream sounding name that you feel like everybody would have heard of it. Beerandbrewing.com. Lager, it's cool. Again, in parentheses, American craft breweries overwhelmingly favor ale. Walk into your favorite bottle shop or brew pub, and you'll find a supply of IPAs, imperial stouts, barrel-aged Belgian Brett bombs that no one person could even dream of exhausting, although that should not keep us from trying. Until very recently, though, the Lager devotee might have only found a craft pilsner here or an artisanal bock there. Drinking a Helles would have meant either 1, risking light-struck green bottles and questionable transport conditions, or 2, hopping on a plane to Munich. Munich? Is it Munich or Munich?
Munich.
But the times, they are changing. Craft beer aficionados are learning that lager doesn't have to mean anemic, fizzy liquid. Even as adjunct macro lager continues to dominate domestic beer consumption, craft beer steadily chips away at its market share, and the brewers responsible for this shift are increasingly rediscovering the joys of lager. Lager brewing dominates world beer production, and it's all thanks to a 16th century decree, not the one you're thinking of, duking it out. Most of us are familiar with the Reinheitsgebot, the Bavarian beer purity law from 1516. Yeah, I'm totally well read on that, by the way. I hope you are, Tim.
I am.
At an otherwise inconsequential meeting of nobles of Ingolstadt, William IV, Duke of Bavaria, famously proclaimed that Bavarian brewers could only include barley, malt, hops, and water in their beer. Yeast was added later after its discovery. Wilhelm gets the credit, but his edict was the culmination of almost 4 centuries of attempts to improve beer quality in the realm. A little history lesson for you. A few decades for the Reinheitsgebot, though William's son and successor, Albrecht V, issued a less famous but far more consequential mandate, one that would forever change how the world thinks of beer. Albrecht restricted Bavarian brewers to making beer only in the 7 months between Michaelmas and the Feast of St. George, September 29th to April 23rd. The ruling was based on empirical observations that beer brewed in cold months tasted better than beer made in the summer. Today we understand that spoiling bacteria, which are quite active at warm temperatures, tend to go dormant when it gets cold. An unintended consequence of this decree, however, was that over time brewers selectively preferred lager strains over ale strains in their beer. Brewers didn't yet understand the biology of fermentation, so the most competitive yeasts and other microbes determined the character of the beer. Beer brewed in warm months would have been dominated by ale, yeast, and bacteria, while lager strains survived and fermented at temperatures well below what other bugs could manage. And so it is that an otherwise minor figure in world history indirectly influenced most of what is brewed today. What do you think about that so far?
So far, so good, I think.
Lager fermentation. Ale yeast and lager yeast are different species together. Ale yeast is, I'm not even going to say that. That's some Latin shit I can't say. Well, lager yeast is something else, sometimes described as this and that, or this and that in other texts. I'm not going to attempt to say a fucking Latin word that I cannot say. This blah 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 generally thrives at temperatures north of 66 degrees Fahrenheit. Ale brewing is within the reach of most home brewers because optimal temperatures for ale fermentation happen to be around room temperature. No extra equipment is needed. That's interesting. So what's interesting to me, Tim, is how technology plays a role in all this. Do you know what I mean? Which I never thought about until now. But what makes lagers cool again, right? Basically, the article goes on to say that because American craft companies are doing interesting things with lagers, that's what it is. And here's actually even one about California. California Common Lager. California Common Lager is an American original. We all know it as Anchor Steam. I've heard of Anchor Steam. Have you?
I have.
But other craft breweries such as Massachusetts-based Jack Abbey's Boston Steam Pie, Colorado-based New Belgium Brewing Company, and Colorado-based Steamworks Brewing are making their mark on this West Coast lager as well. Brewed with a temperature-tolerant lager strain at as high as 65 degrees Fahrenheit, California Common traditionally features woodsy northern brew hops and light caramel flavor. Newer interpretations depart from the standard formula to deliver exciting citrus and tropical fruit bombs. Okay, so basically the article is just saying that there's more to lagers than what we think there is, right? And craft brewing companies are sort of pushing the envelope on what a lager can be, and I can see that tonight just by having the lagers I've had tonight. I've had your standard lager, I've had a dark lager, and I've had a hoppy lager. I mean, that makes perfect sense to me. So interesting that that's the case. What do you think? What do you think about that? I mean, I feel like the beers you've had tonight, Tim, are pretty diverse as well, right?
Yeah, the beers that I had, and I actually even stopped myself from getting another kind of adjunct weird lager because I wanted to have at least one that I could say was just a regular style lager, and even that it ended up being a rye lager because, you know, I thought that the Oktoberfest, it didn't say rye lager on the can. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot more to it. There's a lot of different kinds, and I think especially in the craft world, they're not going to just have straight up lagers because that is thought of as, you know, the big four or whatever, the shitty beers. So they're going to do something special and really kind of like try to make it stand out for the craft side of it.
All right, Tim. Well, that sounds good, Tim. Tim, I think you know what time it is, right?
What time is it?
It's time to announce our top beer. So, Tim, I want you to do the honors. What's your top beer for tonight?
I'm probably going to go with that Haas, honestly.
By Great Divide.
Great Divide Haas, the rye lager. Had the best overall flavor for me. The one I felt like I could drink the most. Really kind of balanced everything really nicely. And yeah, I like that one. Like that one the best.
Awesome. All right. Well, Tim, I think this should come as no surprise. I'm going to go with the Ska Brewing's Pils World Craft Lager. This is a really delicious beer. I honestly thought tonight my top beer was going to be the Upslope Craft Lager, which is a good beer, no disrespect to it at all. But when it comes to flavor, when it comes to the floral fruity flavor of it, I have to go with the Ska Brewing's Pils World because it's a really good beer. It's pretty sessionable, I would say. While Grist had a pretty interesting different beer, you know, I lean more towards the Pils World Craft Lager. So that is my top beer for tonight, Tim. What do you think about that?
I like it. It sounds good. That you made it sound great. I wanted to try that one. So
The second that beer touched my tongue, I feel like this is we're working with something good here, Tim. That's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I think that's it. I think we had another successful top beer episode. I think this is better than
I think we did.
Better than the I was kind of in the back of my head, I was thinking, I hope this doesn't turn out as bad as the Mexican beer episode.
Yeah, then you would have been nixed from picking styles for a while.
But fortunately for us, we had some winners here tonight. So Tim, is there anything you want to plug before we go?
No, nothing particular. Just check out my podcast, my other podcast, This Week in Wrestling. check out. We'll do it live. Should have a new episode coming out very shortly when you're listening to this. All in all, no, that's about it.
Awesome. Well, yeah, follow us at Lucha Undead. There's always something going on with us on at Lucha Undead as far as wrestling, as far as beer. Follow me at Della Boots. Follow my other podcast at Story Germ. And Tim, before we go, I think you have one quick thing you want to say for us, you do every week.
Sure. I just want to make sure everybody's well aware that when it comes to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, there's only three things that truly matter. And that is the three B's: good beers, good buds, and good banter. Good night.